This is Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so glad you've joined us for today's talk. Whether you're looking for encouragement, some words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's what you're gonna get with Richard. He's got a unique style all his own. But one thing's for certain, you're gonna hear the gospel in a way you may have never heard before. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Now, if you're not able to stick around for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's get right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The message title today is two words, fearless. And we're going to talk about fear. I have 10 pages and I've highlighted some of these guys. This is nothing but phobias. Allodoxophobia, you know what that is? Fear of opinion. A lot of preachers have that fear. All right, now I don't even know if I can say this one, but this is one of the wildest ones on the list. Arachibutyrophobia is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. That is an actual phobia. Some of your more familiar ones are arachnophobia, you know, fear of spiders. There's an atichophobia, fear of failure. And novercaphobia, this is a great one. Novercaphobia, fear of your mother-in-law. That is actually a phobia. Panophobia, fear of everything. Parascavedicatrophobia is the fear of Friday the 13th. Pilatophobia, fear of bald people. Phronemophobia, fear of thinking. I think a lot of people have that fear. Phrytophobia, fear of getting wrinkles. Anyhow, there's some fears out there, and it goes on and on. I mean, about the most intricate little things. You think, well, nobody's afraid of that. People are terrified. People are afraid of. I had a friend, the guy I worked with, his wife was literally terrified of cats. I mean, she could not go in a house. If there was a cat, she would freak completely out, break out, and whatever, and just she couldn't handle cats. And you may have some kind of phobia, heights, whatever it may be. But there are people who live literally in fear. Agoraphobia, people who will not leave the house. They're afraid of the marketplace. They're afraid of going to work. They just literally can't even leave their house. Now, you say, well, that's all silly stuff. You know what? It's silly unless you've got it. But even if you don't have one of these phobias, we all have fears. We have stuff that hits us. Now, let's start at Psalm 23:4. And that one might ring a bell. I try to use things that even if you haven't done the God thing ever in a long time, that it'll make sense. But Psalm 23:4. And a lot of you could probably quote this whole thing, and we'll go through some of the first verses. But let me ask you this question as we get into this today. What are you afraid of? Think about that a second. People are afraid of all kinds of things. Look at verse 23. Let's just start with verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now he's talking about, someone pointed this out in the past, there is a difference in walking through the valley of death and walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Does everybody understand this? If you walk through something, literally, you go through it. If you walk through, if I could get a shadow going here somewhere, you can walk through a shadow and it not do anything to you, right? If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all you can do is walk by death and it casts its shadow on you, but a shadow can't hurt you. Now, there's some that'll scare you if you're a kid. Little kids have fear of the dark. They get in a room. My mom's here. I can remember one night, wherever we lived, man, it was lightning, thunder. What is it about lightning and thunder you think is coming in your room? That stuff, you just couldn't take anymore. Remember the sound of music, the lightning and thunder? Every one of those kids ended up in Maria's room. It's terrifying stuff. It's just overwhelming. We'd end up on the bed or under her bed or somewhere. We did not want to be around that. You see a shadow, you know, the light hits, somebody walk by and it casts this huge shadow. I mean, Halloween's a great time for that stuff. Trying to scare people with shadows and sounds. The shadow of death. Some of you, and I'll read another verse in a minute, there are a lot of people out there who fear dying. They are terrified that they're going to die. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to die. Unless Jesus does return, as the scripture says, unless he comes back to take us out of here, guys, you are going to die. That train is coming for all of us. And people fear this death. But he says, in spite of the fact that death is coming at some point, he says, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Now that is the difference. And I'm going to start here this morning with this point. If you are without God, he is not with you. Now, he may be all around you. I have this conversation repeatedly. I had one this week with a guy who's been coming to this church, he and his wife, and a few months ago, his wife became a Christian. And on the phone, I wanted to have this conversation with him in person, but on the phone this last week, he was about to leave town. We started talking, and I said, you know, started asking him some questions. And in the course of this conversation, long story short, I said, would you like to receive this gift of eternal life that Jesus provided when he died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead? I said, would you like to pray? I mean, this is kind of bizarre on the phone, but would you like to do it right now on the phone? He said, yeah, I want to do it right now. I mean, it was like, let me have it. Let me at him. You know, I don't want to think about this. I've been thinking about it. I want him in me, living through me. I mean, he was all over this deal. And he and I prayed on the phone this last week, and the guy became a Christian. Now, guys, that's awesome. That's where it starts. And I said to him on the phone, it is one thing to have the God of the universe all around you everywhere, which God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But let me tell you something where he cannot get. Inside of you. He will not kick the door of your heart down to get inside of you. You must receive this gift of eternal life. If you make somebody take a gift, it is not a gift. You are forcing it on them. And God comes along and says, here's this gift of eternal life. I gave my son Jesus to die, be buried, raised from the dead, to pay for it, to offer it to you free. Do you want it or not? And a lot of people say, you know what, like this guy on the phone, I take it. God, thank you so much for loving me. I take this gift. And a lot of people say, you know what, I don't need God. I can take care of myself. No thanks. And then people say to me, well, I don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. You know what? Neither do I. What are you going to do with a God who says, here's my own kid, I'm going to let him die, be buried, raised from the dead to give you eternal life, and we go, no thanks. Is that God's fault or my fault? I'm the one saying no thank you. What else could he do but give his own life, his own son? You've got to establish what he says here, for you are with me. And there are a lot of people out there living day after day. They have not a clue. They know God somewhere, but they don't have the assurance, and I'll get some more verses about this in a minute. They do not have the assurance that God lives in them and that they're never going to be alone. You can be single till the day you die, guys, and if you're a Christian, you will never be alone. You may get lonely sometimes, but you will never be alone. You cannot get alone, not with this kind of relationship. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. All right, flip over to, let's just go through Psalms here a minute. Psalm 27. Listen to the writer here in Psalm. Psalm 27, verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Can you say that? Now guys, this is not a guy saying I don't have any problems or any reason to be afraid. A lot of people in this room and a lot of people in the world have a lot of reason to fear. But he says here, the Lord is the light of myself. Who am I going to be afraid of? What can they do to you? Flip over to Psalm 46 in verse 1. Another psalm. This is to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Where do you run when you get in trouble? Where do you run when you get afraid? You run to some girlfriend, some boyfriend, some ex, some mom, some dad. There's a lot of places you can run and get a little refuge, guys. But God, if God is your refuge, the place you go to hide, and He is where you draw your strength, He is a very present help in trouble. He's always there. Let me tell you something. There are times when I can't get on the phone and get anybody else on the phone, and I got God in me and with me. I need somebody a lot of times now. I don't need to wait till I get home. I don't need to get somebody on the phone, call some pastor. I need to know that God is with me, that He is present when I'm in trouble and afraid. All right, look down at this passage again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. No matter what happens, the whole planet disappears. I am not going to be afraid. Why? Because He is my refuge and strength. If God can't take care of you, where the heck are you going to go? Or maybe the question is, if He's not taking care of you, where have you been going? Because we come up with all kind of places and all kind of people to solve all kind of problems instead of saying, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going right to the source. If He can create it, He can maintain it, He can take care of me. All right, look at Psalm 56. Now, I'm not reading this just for fun, guys. I'm reading this stuff for one thing, so you'll hear it. And secondly, so you'll say, you know what, I didn't know all that was in there. A lot of people go, oh, the Old Testament, that's obsolete. I just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Psalm 56:1, to the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands. This was music they sang. A mitzvah of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, what? I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Now think about this, guys. What is the worst thing somebody can do to you? Kill you. If you're a believer, it's the best thing that ever happened to you. The worst thing that can happen to you is somebody kill you. And if you're a Christian, you die and end up with Jesus anyway. You can't lose. Now, a lot of times people say, yeah, well, somebody killing me would be easy. It's somebody killing me slow. It's a boss who just wears me out. It's that constant chipping away, carving. If I was dead, that'd be great. But I got to live. And I go to work afraid. Don't do it. Look what he says. I will praise you. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Verse 3 again. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. We are not trusting God, because when you trust in God, you can't be afraid at the same time. I'm telling you, I get hit with it. You get hit with it. There are people I talk to. Here's how this one goes. I'll never get married. I've been divorced. I've had this happen to me. I've been through this experience. No one will ever have me. If anybody ever found out who I am and what I've done and what I've been through, they would never have me. And they live in fear of dying and living alone, right? Because as soon as somebody finds out what I've done, where I've been, I'm history. Guys, that is worrying about stuff you've got no control over anymore. It's in the past. Give it to God. Say, God, I can't change it. I trust you. I'm going to be who I am. And if somebody doesn't love me because of that, it's too bad. If they do, I'll know it's from you, and I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to live in terror. I'm going to trust you. It's not like you're looking for 500 wives or 500 women. It's just one. I mean, God can find you one person, can he? Maybe you're praying for too many. Narrow it down to one. That may be part of your problem. You're praying, God, send me men. And he's like, you know, let's narrow the search just a tad. How about amen? All right, Proverbs 1. I may just read through some of these. If you want to turn to them or write them down, you can go back to them. Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. It's about living. It's not about being religious, guys. It's about knowing God. It's about walking with God. It's about living with him. If you listen to him, you'll dwell safely and you'll be secure without fear of evil. It's all over the book. Proverbs 10:24. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. You ever heard the phrase, what I feared the most came upon me? Proverbs 10:24. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. People sit around terrified something bad's going to happen to him. You know what happens? Something bad. Somehow they just keep being afraid, and they bring the very thing they're afraid of on themselves, it says. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. You say, but I don't need God. You will, either in this life or in the next. You're going to need him sooner or later, and it may be too late. Don't let it be too late. Now let's quickly turn to Exodus. Go back to the left. You got Genesis, the next one's Exodus. Exodus 4:10. Now this is a real live guy, and I'm trying to tie this somewhat today into last Sunday, okay? If God tells you to do something, he equips you to do it. God will never ask you to do something without giving you the spiritual equipment to pull it off. Whatever resources you need, you'll have them. And there are big guns in the Bible who knew better and still complained and balked and missed out on some awesome stuff. And here's one of them. His name is Moses. Moses has seen this burning bush. God told him, here's this rod, throw it down, it turns into a snake. All this miraculous stuff. God's going to use Moses to deliver the people of Israel. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. I can't get up in front of these people and talk. And some of you got this fear. I can't open my mouth. I can't speak for God. I can't talk. It won't come out. Nothing will happen. I won't know what to say. And you're sitting there with an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that's within you, and you go to say it, and the devil says, you can't talk. What are you going to say? What if they ask you some question you don't have an answer to? And you just shut down, pull in, and go, you know, I'll let the preachers of the world do that. I'll just live a Christian life. I'm not knocking it. But guys, you're going to get a chance to speak it. Some of the most shy guys I've ever met will still introduce their fiance. When you're in love with somebody, you talk about them. You have a relationship with somebody sooner or later. I mean, if I walked up to Marcus and he was engaged, now I know this is a very hypothetical, very, very hypothetical situation, but we're going to invest in a snake that goes to the back there where he can get away from here. Too many examples. If I walked and went, Marcus, how are you? Who's this? And she had a ring on her finger. And I said, well, who's this? Oh, just a friend. He didn't say anything. She looked at him like, what do you mean just a friend? Sooner or later, Marcus is going to say, man, this is my fiance, or this is my wife. He is going to introduce me to somebody who's important to him. It just happens, guys.
There is a point at which you can't contain it. And you say, but I still don't know what I'd say. I don't even know how to express the love I feel for someone I'm married to or dating or engaged to. I don't know how to get the words out. Listen to this. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I can't talk fast enough. So the Lord said to him, now listen, guys, this is not about Moses. This is about you and me. Who has made man's mouth? Where'd you get your mouth, Moses? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. You say, I don't know what to say. He says, precisely. But I do, and if you'll get out of the way and trust me to do it, when you get in the situation, I'll tell you what to say. I made your mouth. I control these things. Just listen and let me speak through you. Guys, there's stuff that happens to me speaking here. Something happened Thursday, speaking downtown at a business luncheon. I said something I've never thought in my life. And people come up to me and go, wow, that was great. And I want to say, yeah, I know. Wasn't that awesome? You know why? Because it wasn't about me. Now, people say that's cocky. Guys, there are times that I'm speaking, I enjoy what happens as much as you do because it's not me or you, it's him. And that may be hard to understand, but you will be in a conversation with somebody and stuff come out of your mouth that you don't even know you know if you'll get out of the way and let God speak. And you say, I'm afraid. Forget the fear. People's lives are at stake. Let him speak. And Moses is arguing with the God of the universe here. It goes on. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow. God says, I'll teach you what to say. Verse 13, but he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may. Send somebody else. I can't do it. And you know what? God got mad here and honored his request, and Moses missed out on being able to see that God would take exactly who he was, slow of speech and not eloquent, and see what God did. There's a man in the room today who is slow of speech at one point in his life and not very eloquent. It's my mentor, Claude Townsend. If you ever hear him give his testimony, when he was a little boy, he can remember get up speaking and literally hearing his knees knock under him. And now he can sit in a room of people, in a room of thousands, and he's done both. Simple, godly man from Mississippi who said, you know what, God? Don't get another mouth. Use mine. And if he had said, God, use some other mouth, he'd have missed out on what God has done because he cannot take credit for what's happened to him even more than I can. And you are missing out by not being available and living your life in fear. Say, God, use me, speak to me, and then speak through me and get me out of the way. I can't, so that's proof that you got to. I'm going to let you do it. I am not going to live and die in fear. And you will be amazed at what comes out of your mouth. Don't tell him what you don't know because you can't. Tell him what you know. Tell him what he's done for you today, this week, at some point in your life. So it says there in the next verse, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And so God had to speak to Moses. Moses had to whisper it in Aaron's ear, and Aaron had to communicate for him. Guys, don't live that way. Let God speak through you. Let him do it. I got a ton of verses. We're not going to hit them all, but if you're writing these down, you want to go back. One of them is Romans chapter 8, and I'll read you. It's 10 through 16, but verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is a spirit of fear out there. The devil puts something on you and just terrify. You know what? God didn't give you that. So say, God, I'm not interested in that spirit of fear. I want a spirit in 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at that one if you got a second. Of course you do, so let's do it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. The devil comes along and says, hey, I would like to be afraid today. Oh, that'd be nice. I live that way most days anyway. Yeah, let's have some fear. Oh, and I'm comfortable with all this anxiety and I get butterflies and I'm just going to live nervous all day today. And then the God comes along and he says, you know what? How about no fear today? How about power, love, and a sound mind? I never thought about that. I mean, I can trade this one in for these three. God has not given you this fear you've got. So you say, God, I admit I've lived in fear. I'm not doing it anymore. I am trading my fear in for power, love, and a sound mind. Self-control. Guys, I need power in my life because I don't have power to do what God wants me to do. I need love in my life because I don't have love for anybody apart from the love I get from Him. And that he gives me for other people. And if there's anything we all need is a sound mind. Anybody have anything besides sound mind in your translation? Self-discipline. Anybody need that? You won't have it living in fear. Let me give you a couple more. Well, there's one in Zach. Don't even try to find this. Just trust me, it's in here. Zechariah. It's a Zap book. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You say, I'm not powerful, I'm not mighty. You know what? The sooner you admit that and discover that, the better off you're going to be, because you're not, but He is, and He can get it done.
There's one, if you're looking, if you're writing these down, John 14, 25 to 27. 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus speaking these words, don't let your heart be troubled and don't let it be afraid. I'm giving you peace. And peace is not something, guys. It is someone. It is Jesus Christ.
And that verse I referred to in Hebrews 2:15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Some people live terrified of dying. The Bible talks about it. You do not have to live in fear of dying because He's taking care of this side and that side.
1 John 4:17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, the Bible says. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. If there is fear in your life toward God in a negative way, you don't understand then yet how much He loves you. Because perfect love casts all fear out.
I can tell you about it in a marriage. You get two people who love each other and live in a house. I know she loves me. She knows I love her. And a lot of the fears, guys, the phobias we went over, that fear of wrinkle thing, it ain't just the women out there afraid of the wrinkles. A lot of men getting those lifts too, trying to put off death. If you live in a relationship where you're not sure the other person loves you, and a lot of people live this way thinking, you know what, if I gain a little weight, and if time and gravity kick in like they'd always, you know, they always do, you have to think about that one. Time and gravity take us all down the tubes. Everything is low fat. You know why it's low fat? Because all that low fat, everything, it all goes really low on your body. I have a lot of low fat. If you're in a relationship where somebody says, you know what, somebody cuter is going to be born, there are people, they're not even born yet, that men in this room will be tempted by. They're not even born yet. There's always going to be somebody cuter, younger, sweet, young thing, guys. When you love somebody, you lock in on one person, you commit, and when they know you love them, they don't fear the rest of their life, you're going to run off with somebody else.
Richard will be back in a quick moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. I mean, let's be honest. Life isn't just about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have some deep hurts and struggles. Well, I want you to know that we get it and want to help in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. So even though our program is heard by people all over the country, we care about you. 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now, back to Richard Ellis with a final word on today's show.
Perfect love casts out that kind of fear. And when you know God loves you and He's not ditching on you, and you know you loved Him and you don't have anywhere else to go and you're not going, the fears go out the window. And the book says that fear has torment. The scariest thing, and people talking about Jesus coming in the end times and all this stuff, all these fears, you know what ultimately it is? What's going to happen to me? Most people, it gets down to this. Okay, if there's no God, you die and just go back to dust. Who cares? Eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. But if there's a God, and if there's any merit to anything that it said in this book, this isn't just some book and God really wrote it, it can be relied on, then I got an issue. I got something to deal with. I could die and end up in a real heaven or a real hell. But I don't think a loving God would send anybody to hell. We've already addressed that. Neither do I. So if He doesn't want me there, where does He want me? With Him, of course, because it cost Him His own Son to get me there. So you have a simple decision. You say, God, and if my deal about there being no God is true, which the Bible says the fool says in his heart there's no God, that ain't going to work. So I don't want to be a fool, and I believe it's true. I'm going to take the gift. And you're offering me eternal life, bought and paid for by your Son, Jesus, His life, death, burial, and resurrection. I'm a taker. Thank you very much. I receive it. I got it. I'm going to live with it and die with it. I want all this fear out of my life. I'm not going to live worrying about tomorrow. You've taken care of my past. My future's taken care of. You've given me power and life and a sound mind for today, so I want to live. And guys, that's as simple as I can put it. If you live in fear, it's not God's plan. It's the one you've chosen. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And if He tells you to do something, He'll equip you and provide everything you need to get it done. So trust Him and let Him do it. Get out of the way.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. One thing's for certain, when Richard talks, the message of the gospel is gonna be clear. And if that's something you wanna know more about, then clearly, we wanna hear from you. One way is to give us a call and let us know how we can help. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're on the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer requests and people all over will pray for you, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It would mean a lot to us. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.